From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, we welcome back Dr. Amanda Kemp from Theater for Transformation. The Lancaster-based theater company has been performing their latest work, Emancipation Suite, in honor of the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. The show includes an interesting soundtrack and new territory for the theater company. It uses a live performance of Bach's Chaconne throughout the story.
The feedback we've gotten about the show, people love the music. They always want to know, why bring that in here? Because they wouldn't have thought, it was not a natural to go to that.
Coming up, it's Dr. Amanda Kemp from Theater for Transformation. We also welcome Harvey Owen, director of the Ware Center, for his monthly update on all that's happening at Millersville University's Visual and Performing Arts Center in downtown Lancaster. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. On Friday, February 8th, our friends at Series 42 present Girls, Guns, and Glory at the Burning Bridge Tavern for a night of sweet and tasty fun-loving and hard time and honky-tonk music. The Burning Bridge Tavern is just over the river to our west in Wrightsville. The show starts at 8 p.m. Girls, Guns, and Glory at the Burning Bridge Tavern, Friday, February 8th. On Sunday, February 10th at 1 p.m., the Keystone Art and Culture Center presents Fire and Ice. It's an afternoon of ice sculpting and a live bronze pour. Yeah, that's hot. Grandma Shake will be providing live music. There will be a craft table for the kiddos brought to you by Lancaster Reuse. And there will be plenty of food and drink available. It's only $5 to get in. Kids under 12 are free. Stop by the Keystone Art and Culture Center Sunday, February 10th from 1 to 5. Find out more about their mission to infuse the community with art and art education. They're at 420 Pearl Street in Lancaster. Save the date for Saturday, February 23rd, as Ruby Red House Concerts present Philly-based singer-songwriter Christopher Bond. Christopher's Moon Palace project is a mix of atmospheric guitars, layered vocals, and electronics for a very, very unique sound. Seats are limited and reservations are required. You can find out more about this concert and all the events mentioned on the program at the show post for today's episode at our website, woodstovehouse.com. You can also learn more about Christopher Bond on episode 74 of this program. Here's a little taste. It's a track called In Our House on Around the Wood Stove.
When you spoke of love, I think you meant the wild kind, tearing at my chest. You skinned your knees so white, put your red dress on, laughing like a nervous bride. Bring me to your lips, whisper deep inside.
It's time once again for our monthly update from director Harvey Owen about what's coming up at the Ware Center, the premier visual and performing arts center at Millersville University Lancaster, right in the heart of downtown Lancaster City. It's live at the Ware Center on Around the Wood Stove. Welcome back to the program, Harvey. The Ware Center is back. It's open, and we're very excited about what's coming up in February. There's a long list of things as usual, but let's pick the highlights.
Okay, I'd be glad to share with them. We actually have 33 events coming up in February.
Wow.
But I want to hit you with some of the better ones, that at least the ones that amaze me the most. Coming up on Thursday, February 7th, we have Lancaster's poet laureate, Christine Longenecker, is doing an evening with her husband, who is an actor. Mm-hmm. It's called A Myriad of Roads Not Taken. It's an evening of Robert Frost poetry. It also incorporates music. So there's a sextet of men who are coming in to sing as well some of Robert's poetry. Very cool. On Saturday, February 9th, we continue our family series. This is for parents and their caretakers and young kids. And this is Reach by Jason Reed. Jason Reed is actually a Juilliard-trained dancer who now has created a hip-hop program. But the cool thing about it is he doesn't just present hip-hop performances, but he also teaches the kids in the audience how to hip-hop dance and sing.
That's awesome.
It's really great.
I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah, it's already on my calendar.
I hope you have kids. If you do, bring them. All right, bring them. They're going to love it. And it's primarily for kids maybe 12 and under, but anybody can get in. It's a great deal of fun. We have the 2013 Oscar-nominated shorts for both animation. That's on February 13th. And then on February 20th, it's the live-action shorts. People are going to be able to see all of the nominated films before the Oscar broadcast on February 24th. So that's a lot of fun. Does very well. Lots of people come.
And about how many shorts are we talking about? How many films?
In each case, there's either five or six.
Okay. So it's a full evening.
Yeah, a full evening. Well worth it. Both programs, which run separately, are actually about an hour and a half each. On Friday, February 15th at 7:30, we've got a one-woman show coming in. It's by the award-winning Leslie McCurdy. And what it is The Unconquerable Spirit of Harriet Tubman. This one-woman show tells the story of Harriet Tubman, who was a slave who escaped during the Civil War to the North, gained her freedom, and then went back underground 19 more times to the South and helped 300 other slaves escape. After she did this, she made a tour of the United States telling of her experiences, and this woman recreates those lectures.
Interesting.
On February 17th, that's a Sunday, we have a dance company out of Philadelphia called Carbon Dance Theater. And this was created by Meredith Rayner, who was a dancer with ABT. When he retired from ABT, what he did was he took ballet, he was classically trained, and fused it with modern and contemporary, and has created his own company that does modern and contemporary dance primarily, but infused with ballet movements. It's really, really cool. Absolutely beautiful to see on stage. On Friday, February 22nd, we have Dan Kamen, who actually taught Johnny Depp in Benny and June and taught Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. in Chaplin, their physical moves for that particular show. He's a Chaplin specialist, and he's coming in to do Funny Bones, the work of Charlie Chaplin. He recreates Charlie Chaplin's routine. He deconstructs some of his movies. He talks about that artwork. And, of course, he talks about his experiences, not just in Hollywood teaching the stars, but also on Broadway. On Saturday, February 23rd at 7 p.m., we have A Little Taste of Asia. And what we're featuring during this is Tuvan Throat Singers Alash Ensemble. This is very cool. I knew nothing about this until I read about it and I heard it just sells so well. Tuvan Throat Singers are men and women who sing two pitches at the same time. It's a unique thing that's from that part of the country, and only they do it. And I understand It's absolutely sounding very, very cool to hear.
Well, it's a jam-packed schedule, as always, at the Wera Center. We're glad that the Wera Center's back.
Thank you.
So for the folks who frequently come to shows at the Wera Center, I know there's been renovations over the winter break. What can we expect different?
Well, a lot of the renovations were behind the house.
Okay.
But what people will see when they enter, for example, Steinman Hall, they'll notice there are handrails on both sides of the steep stairs in our auditorium, so they can help them down the steps. We've also put in theatrical lighting. Now, all of that lighting won't be in place when we do our February shows, but much of it will be. So they'll be able to see a much more of a theatrical presentation than what they have seen in the past. It's no longer lights on, lights off. It's now a little more sophisticated than that.
Excellent. Looking forward to some of these shows. Thanks so much for the update.
Thanks a lot, Jason.
And we'll catch you next month.
Hope to see you here.
Don't miss out on all of the great arts events at the Wera Center, Millersville University, Lancaster. All details can be found at millersville.edu/muarts. Dr. Amanda Kemp is the founder and artistic director of Theater for Transformation, a touring theater company from Lancaster, PA, that focuses on Black history and provides opportunities for both members of the company and the audience to open their hearts and minds and experience new perspectives through stories that haven't necessarily been told before. To recognize the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, the company launched a new show in January called Emancipation Suite. The first drafts of this show were performed at several locations locally, including the Lancaster YWCA on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Another performance will be held this upcoming Wednesday, February 6th, at Newman University in Aston, PA. Then later in the year, a full production version will be presented at the Ware Center here in downtown Lancaster. We'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, it's Dr. Amanda Kemp on Around the Wood Stove. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's Dr. Amanda Kemp from Theater for Transformation. Amanda, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
So great to see you again and to talk about this new production, Emancipation Suite, which I've been fortunate enough to already have seen, the production at the YWCA here in Lancaster. But I'd like to ask, start with maybe just a setup of this new production. Can you give me the backstory and the inspiration behind it?
So Emancipation Suite is about a 13-and-a-half-year-old African-American boy who hates his name, hates history, but loves basketball. And so he and his mom are always getting into conflicts about him reading and him learning about his heritage. So she takes him to the Lincoln Memorial one year for their family field trip, and then he gets pulled back in time, first to 1963, and then 50 years beyond that to 1913, and then 50 years beyond that to Abraham Lincoln's White House.
It's a great way of telling the story. You're almost like telling the story in reverse.
Yes.
And I tell you, as an audience member, it was very educational.
Well, good.
Yeah.
And I always want my work to be educational, Jason, because I'm a teacher. But I wanted it to be, I wanted it to hold on to a young audience. So I created this 13-year-old protagonist, which is actually a very difficult literary device. Because a 13-year-old who loves basketball and hates history, you got to fight with your protagonist the whole time to make him stay in the story.
Right.
So it's a great challenge for the writer. And as a mother of a 13-year-old, it's my challenge, you know, to write stuff that my kids want to see and that their friends will want to see. And in fact, we were at Reynolds Middle School just a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we performed there, and then I went back after the performance to spend a day in residence with them. I had a blast. They were amazing. How many details they remembered from the show and their questions about what things symbolize. And I asked them for their own interpretations. I love that. I just got to give a shout out for Reynolds Middle School eighth graders.
All right. Something else that's interesting about this show is that the way I understand it, because you gave a little talk before and after, is that this show is a seed or a rough draft of what's to come. Is that something that you do often with your performances?
Well, the whole idea of creating a scaled down version of a work, I mean, I guess people who work in the visual arts do it all the time, especially sculptors. Before you make a huge work, you do a small model, right?
Right.
To get the sense of, well, I don't really know why they do it, but as a theater artist, as a writer, I do a scaled down version because it's cheap. And I want to see how audiences react to it. I want to know what is the heart of the piece. You don't need a lot of production values to find the heart. And once you've found the heart, then you can add on production values that are more expensive and take more time. You
sure.
can have a bigger cast. So for us, a scaled down version is an opportunity to find the heart. And number two was an opportunity for us on the actual 150th anniversary month of the Emancipation Proclamation to make a statement.
The productions that I've seen of yours in the past include a lot of music. Music is a big component. Mostly, though, African-American spirituals. This show is almost built around, or it seems to be built around, a classical piece. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love the freedom to create. Clearly, I'm in love with Black sacred music, because it shows up in every piece I write.
Sure.
And it's in this piece,
right,
too. But I recently got introduced to Bach's Chaconne. Michael Gimanis had been practicing it, and he had made a promise that he would play it every day in the year 2012. And when I met him, I wanted to know, well, first of all, I told him, I don't like Bach. I don't like the violin. But why would you want to practice the same piece of music every day for an entire
right.
year? And so he said, because it's really difficult and it's really beautiful. So he played it for me, and I had to agree. It was amazing. It just, I danced, actually. And it is apparently a dance, so. So having a classical music soundtrack of sorts to the show gives me access to another audience. People come to see Theater for Transformation. I love them, and I want them to keep coming. But they're not necessarily a classical music audience. And I thought that the Chacon and Michael's incredible performance of it would draw people to our plays who don't normally come to plays about African-American history.
How much did that piece actually inform the writing of the show? Or was it an afterthought?
No. I knew early on when someone said to me, what are you going to do, Amanda, for the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation? When Louise Williams said that to me, I didn't know exactly, but I knew I wanted to use the Chacon, but it's an experiment. It has to do with, for me, what the violin represents and what classical music represent prior to the show was really like elite culture,
mm-hmm.
and really Eurocentric elite culture. So I've never been interested in working with it.
Right.
But through my association with Michael, coming to hear it, some of it differently, it made me want to stretch me, but also to stretch the people who listen to that music. So it's interesting that the feedback we've gotten about the show, people love the music. They always want to know why bring that in here, because they wouldn't have thought it was not a natural to go to that. But sometimes people also are, who love that music and know that music, are shocked and disturbed by the history that we uncover in the show. There's a certain way in which I would say lots of white Americans are protected from the history of racism. There's a certain way in which history is generally taught. There's this dominant narrative of, we're a free country, we're hardworking, you've worked hard, some things are kind of not so good, but we've persevered and we've gotten it right. It's sort of like that very positive narrative.
Yeah.
And when you tell a play, when you create work from an African-American center, then you immediately have to come up against slavery or Jim Crow or segregation. You come up against some of the incidents of structural and individual oppression and horror. So there's lynching mentioned in this show. There's, assassinations of people who were just trying to register other people to vote in this show. Information like that, that I think is important for us to remember. I think it's important for us to remember. And for some people who sort of maybe got to gloss by that kind of history, it's there for them.
It's a different perspective because the shows I've seen of yours in the past, you're right. You're presenting a culture to a people who you're kind of speaking to the choir in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And I believe the choir has to practice. I'm definitely one of those people who thinks, you've never gotten it. Just like you have to go to the gym every day, you got to brush your teeth every day.
Right.
You don't ever have the whole story.
Yeah.
So we can always grow. But there's some people who aren't even getting near the gym. And those people, this is an opportunity for me to have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
But the other thing, Jason, I just want to, I mentioned Reynolds, but one of my commitments really is to the rising generations, that these stories become their stories and that they see themselves as the purveyors of the stories. And they know that I think that they're important.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Today on the program, it's Dr. Amanda Kemp talking about Emancipation Suite, the new production from her company Theater for Transformation. The piece explores several historic moments connected with the Emancipation Proclamation through the eyes and understanding of a 13-year-old African-American boy. Bach's Chaconne, which is performed in the production by violinist Michael Germanis, is woven throughout the play in very intentional ways.
Besides the Chaconne being this incredible, soulful, evocative piece of music, being the reason I was interested in it, the Chaconne actually blends really well with the Emancipation Proclamation. The Emancipation Proclamation is a legal document, and so unlike Lincoln's speeches, which were spoken aloud and meant to be heard and were actually quite pleasurable literary experiences, The Emancipation Proclamation is a legal document meant to delimit and justify him taking a controversial action. So it doesn't soar. But it's so important. And there's some phrases, like he says in it, he said, and all persons designated as slaves in states and designated parts of states that are in rebellion against the United States of America are now, henceforward, and shall forever be free. Now that's a dramatic statement.
That's powerful.
That's like saying forever and ever and yesterday too, and you can't ever take it back, like shall right. not. So the Chaconne, so where the document has that power, the Chaconne is lifting it up. And where it slips into all of its exceptions, like, well, it doesn't apply here, it doesn't apply here, and oh yeah, it has to have all the majority of the qualified voters in the states that are in the union at the time, that kind of information. What we do when that part of the proclamation is being spoken, we amplify the Chaconne. See, so we're using this. So in my opinion, as a writer, you don't have to hear every word of the Emancipation Proclamation to get its import.
Right.
And in fact, the tension within the document is best portrayed by the music, so that you get this. So it's an oral experience and you kind of let go of the words sometimes until we pull back the Chaconne and then the words are center again.
Got it.
So we're playing, we're dancing with it. We're exploring with the text, which is quite beautiful and fun, but it's also a challenge.
I also really appreciated, I wanted to express this to you, that I really appreciated the way that you used music during these time travel sequences. Because, you know, your sets are typically very minimal because you travel and you want to travel light. And so it's about the performance, not about these big grand sets or these special effects. But you were able to almost create a special effect with movement and sound. Very, very cool.
Well, I have to give credit to our director, John Warkemper, for collaborating to figure out the sound, how to create that effect. And let me say to you, Jason, when we performed the show with lots of kids, they love the time travel the most. In fact, one show, Michael Germanis and I did an excerpt from the play up in New England, and we invited kids to come on stage and time travel with us, and they roared with pleasure. They're like, "Me, I want to time travel to 1913, you know? So Michael Germanis, actually, I believe it was Michael, who said, why don't we use excerpts from the Chaconne where it's getting really kind of crazy? Mm-hmm. And when I say crazy, you know how there's some heavy metal music that's kind of crazy?
Sure.
Okay. Well, so in some ways, the Chaconne gets kind of crazy. It's kind of like, I don't know, acid-y or something.
It's fast and it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. That's a good
Right.
It's our technical term for
it. Yeah, there you go. So we were thinking about using that music, but having the actor, the music is fast, but having the actor move slow. Mm-hmm. So there's that contrast. So then you get a sense that time has warped.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, we as you said, it's very scaled down because this is our seed version. So we had very little money to put this on. So then we use an image of the stars. Like somehow he's out of, you know, he's traveling out of earth when he's doing this, when he's going back. And then he lands back in D.C. or New York.
You have some new folks on board for this one. You mentioned John Rohrkamper. What was that like, recruiting some new people and working with new people on this production?
You know, as a writer, or maybe it's just as Amanda, I like security. So I like to go back to the people who I know and who I have a bond with and who I've appreciated, who've appreciated me. And but the universe doesn't always support that. Sometimes you're pushed because of people's schedule or availability to make new friends. And so with this piece, given that the protagonist is a 13-year-old, I had to make a new friend.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't worked with any child actors, especially in a lead role. It's sort of like, oh, wow. And the other thing was that with this piece, previously, most of the plays I've written that we've performed have been primarily female casts.
Yeah.
And this piece actually has more male characters than female characters. And its main character is a man. Well, it's a boy. So that was also out of ordinary for me. The age, having so many male characters. So it required me to go beyond my normal circle of friends to meet other performers. And actually, it was a 24-hour play festival, Jason, that Woodstove House produced, where I met new friends. And that's where I met John.
Okay.
Because he was a writer for that festival. But our stage manager, Nellie, was an actor in
right.
that festival.
Yeah, she's been with us for a couple years.
Joel,
hey, did you know Joel Escher prior to that?
I knew of Joel from a performer, but I had my interaction with him at the festival.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I would say that was one of the ways that I got to meet new friends.
Except for Joe. I mean,
Joe Bryce.
Yeah,
Joe Bryce, our lead character, I met at Millersville. He came highly recommended by one of his professors.
At the Woodstove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Woodstove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Woodstove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. And now back to our conversation with Dr. Amanda Kemp from Theater for Transformation. Let's talk about the performance coming up in May. I know it's a little ways off. We want to save dates.
We're so excited. We are so excited about May. Okay. So we're going to be at the Ware Center on May 30th and June 1st
okay.
at 7:30. And then we're going to be there on June the 2nd at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, nice.
June 2nd is a matinee performance.
Is that a Sunday?
June 2nd is a Sunday.
Okay, great.
So we'll do a Thursday, a Saturday, and a Sunday show. And we're making our Saturday night will be our VIP night. We're getting a package together with the Lancaster Arts Hotel, where people who come from a little bit of a ways. And like, we have people who come from Philly or from Delaware to see us, or, you know, New York or D.C.
Yeah.
So we want them to be able to stay overnight at the Lancaster Arts Hotel.
Nice.
And have that real local
right.
artsy experience.
Thanks to Dr. Amanda Kemp for joining me at the Candy Factory for a chat about Emancipation Suite, the latest production from Theater for Transformation. You can learn more about the company online at theaterfortransformation.org or link up from the show post for today's episode at our website, woodstovehouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post. Give us a good rating on iTunes. Be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Woodstove was produced at the Woodstove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.